No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. Thank you very much for staying with us and for posting so many bird flu related gifts in the chat. I really do appreciate that. I appreciate all of the bird flu jokes as well. Keep them up. As Annie H says, they can go duck themselves about flu. I do like that. Now, in the first hour, I talked about the digital panopticon, and I have written about this topic too. And I think it's worth reading an extract from a previous article I wrote to explain the concept of a panopticon more succinctly, so you can kind of understand where we are. So, for those who are not familiar with 18th century social philosophy, which is a few of us, a panopticon was originally the design of a prison building by an English philosopher named Jeremy Bentham. The panopticon prison's architecture would allow one guard in a central guard tower to observe every inmate without those prisoners knowing that they were being observed. And so those incarcerated were left to assume that they were actually being observed all of the time. This prison would, in theory, allow that singular guard to maintain order over every inmate. Much later, in the 20th century, the famous French philosopher Michel Foucault, who is a bit of a character in himself, I wouldn't trust him if I was you, would use the concept of Bentham's original panopticon as a way to describe and explore disciplinary power. According to Foucault's work, disciplinary power had been successful due to his utilization of free technologies. Hierarchical observation, normalizing judgment, and examinations. Hierarchical observations refers to the fact that the observer in a panopticon can be of any hierarchical position within the observing body, meaning that a prison guard, supervisor, or the prison governor itself could be the person who's viewing the inmates. Foucault would also insist that the normalization of judgment is imperative for disciplinary power to exist. And the final principle, the examination, is used to combine the first two principles of observation and resulting judgments to help decide on whether further action should be taken or punitive measures be applied. Among the most notable of Foucault's analyses of the utility of the panopticon is the following quote from his book, Discipline and Punish. "The major effect of the panopticon is to induce in the inmate a state of consciousness and permanent visibility that assures the automatic functioning of power. In other words, the uncertainty of whether or not an individual is being constantly watched induces obedience in that individual, allowing only a few to control the many. In addition to Foucault, the concept of a panopticon has been vigorously studied over the past few centuries, and it has special relevance in understanding modern forms of mass surveillance. The aim of many of the modern day state surveillance apparatus function under a similar doctrine to the original ideology behind the invention of a panopticon. The British GCHQ, the US's NSA, the Israeli Unit 8200, among many others, are the all-seeing eyes of national intelligence agencies who have longed for a way to watch their populations remotely, i.e. online, without their citizens knowing whether or not they're actually being observed. That is one of the best ways I found to describe the digital panopticon we face today. And clearly, understanding the dynamics of our proverbial digital jail cell is vital if we're going to make significant changes. Your tablets, your phones, your smart devices, and your many interactions online are all being observed by a central functionary of the state. Soon, that watcher will be artificial intelligence, and many will curl up in their prison cells because their prison guards never sleep, never rest, and the prisoners won't just think they're being constantly observed, they will know that they are being constantly observed. Now, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at the music festival for the whole Truth and Freedom tribe? Yes, it's true, and it's only a month away, with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, sounds dangerous to me, bouncy castles, hope they don't put them in the same place, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A Stand in the Park and the Light paper presents A Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fees. Children under five come free. There's no better bargain anyway, apparently. Visit their website now to make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. And remember, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT app from either Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download, keeping you up to speed on TNT.
Keeping the commitment.
I love you guys.
Unbelievable.
24/7.
Listen to you every day, have for years.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
For the first time ever, oh yes, pharmaceutical giant AstraZeneca has admitted that its widely used COVID-19 vaccine, wait for this, branded Covishield, wait, are you waiting, can cause rare and potentially deadly side effects. Oh my God, AstraZeneca have become conspiracy theorists. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Oh my God, tell us about how these guys are now poking their fingers in our eyes.
Well, I would argue that this is just medical misinformation, right? I mean, I guess it's okay to talk about this now. Okay, the only reason we're hearing about this, the only way that, you know, we can say that they're quote unquote admitting to this is this has to do with a court battle. So the court documents have revealed, or allegedly, that AstraZeneca is admitting that this can cause a rare but deadly blood clotting condition. This could potentially, maybe, we'll see, expose the UK pharmaceutical giant to tens of millions in lawsuits brought by loved ones of those injured or killed as a result of the jab. According to the dreaded Daily Mail, lawyers representing dozens of class action claimants say some of their clients' cases could be worth as much as 25 million smackaroonies, calling the Cambridge-headquartered pharma firm's vaccine a quote-unquote defective product. AstraZeneca, which is contesting the claims, acknowledged in a February legal document that its vaccine can, quote, in very rare cases, end quote, cause a condition called, oh boy, wish me luck, everybody, thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome. Hey, I did it. Or TTS, not to be confused with FFS. You know what that stands for. TTS can cause patients to suffer blood clots, as well as a low blood platelet count, which in some cases have seriously harmed or even killed recipients of the company's vaccine. According to the dreaded Telegraph, the potential complication was listed as a possible side effect from the time of the vaccine's release, but AstraZeneca's acknowledgement in February marks the first time ever that the pharmaceutical titan has admitted it in court. So far, 51 cases have been filed in London's High Court, estimated to be worth around $125 million in total. That is according to the Telegraph. Due to a bargain AstraZeneca struck with the UK government at the height of the pandemic, whatever we call this thing, to indemnify the drug maker against potential lawsuits. Taxpayers will be on the hook for any payouts resulting from the claims. See how that works? That's lovely. One of the claimants who filed suit is Jamie Scott, an IT engineer and father of two, who was left with a permanent brain injury resulting from the blood clot after he received the jab in April of 2021. His wife, Katie, told the outlet, again, this is Telegraph, that she's hopeful the company's admission will accelerate the outcome of their case. Quote, we need an apology, fair compensation for our family and other families who have been affected. We have the truth on our side and we are not going to give up, end quote. In a statement, AstraZeneca expressed sympathy for anyone who was allegedly harmed by the vaccine, but defended it as a net positive and pointed out that complications are exceedingly rare. The statement reads in part, get your barf bags out, everybody. Quote, patient safety is our highest priority, and regulatory authorities have clear and stringent standards to ensure the safe use of all medicines, including vaccines. End quote. I think that's enough. I will remind everybody real quick that this vaccine is credited with, they say, saving as many as 6 million lives. That just means that it went into at least 6 million arms, okay? So keep that in mind when they say that the odds of a recipient developing TTS as a result of the vaccine are calculated as somewhere in the range of 1 in 50,000. So grab your calculators, everyone, and see how many times 50,000 fits into 6 million. You do the math. What do you think, Johnny?
Well, if you want me to do math, then I'm not sure I'm going to be able. I would say, you say 6 million, and I'd say that's 20, probably something like 120, 140. I don't know. I think they're lying anyway. Even if we do the math and even if we calculate anything, it doesn't make a difference. And Penelope Pitstops, go set it in the chat. I have no faith anyone will receive justice, because of course that's exactly where we are. This idea that they're gonna, and this is something that we all knew was going to come. We all knew that eventually the vaccine makers, when I say vaccines with quotation marks, the vaccine makers for the COVID jabs are all going to have to turn around to do this one at a time. Are going to have to admit, oh yeah, there could be problems. But because everybody shouted about it so much, the fervor has been lost and the attention has been lost too. And everybody will be like, oh well, yeah, we all knew it by now. We've been arguing over it forever. And the ones who got it will be like, yes, but at least it wasn't me, as they develop all of their rare symptoms for rare diseases that they didn't have before. It's quite insane, this, isn't it? We've entered into a world where when we look around and see the people who have actually been obviously injured by the vaccines, the majority of them don't see any issue at all. One of them being my father. My father, he was training the police in karate and martial arts in his 70s before he took the jab. And now he's a sheikh. He's got the shakes real bad. He can barely stand by himself. He's got real significant medical issues, and he said himself, I don't see me lasting long. But he doesn't, of course, put anything down to an action he's taking, because that's one of the things that a lot of people I think out there have an issue with. They have issue with accepting that they have made the wrong decision. And that is something that's reoccurring throughout our society. It's the oldest trick in the book that the vaccine pluggers and sellers used against people, is that as soon as they've done damage to them and those people have had to stand on the side of these vaccine pushers, they then have all their eggs in that basket and they don't want to see the eggs broken. And unfortunately, we see lots of people, and lots of people really damaged. Yeah, really, really damaged. Who do you think will be next then, Ruckus? Is AstraZeneca this time? Do you think any of the other ones will come out?
No. I think that this one was special in this case. I think AstraZeneca pissed somebody off somewhere. I don't know. I think it's just it's similar to what we were discussing in the other story. It's just going to be one of these things where the big pharma can collectively say, well, we're not all that bad. Look at what AstraZeneca did. They came out and admitted it, see, or something ridiculous like that. The pharmaceuticals, the people who made these need to be held accountable. The governments that pushed this on the people need to be held accountable. And more than anything, the mainstream media outlets and the big tech companies that censored the message about how dangerous these things are need to be held accountable, period.
Yeah, indeed. There's a lot of, this is obviously, especially within the crowd who tunes into TNT, this vaccine issue is obviously a massive, and probably TNT radio itself wouldn't have necessarily existed without the COVID pandemic. I mean, what we've seen is a response happen to these lies coming. I really do think, I disagree with you, I have to say, Ruckus. I think that one at a time, each of these guys will have to do their walk of shame, and they've left it long enough that it won't actually be that much of a walk anymore. It's just a quick stroll, just out saying, oh yeah, of course it does damage, and then they duck back behind their cover. Anyway, well, thank you for that. I hope to be joined by Ruckus again tomorrow for some more wonderful news. Until then, you're watching today's news talk on TNT.
Los Angeles has been described as a suburb looking for a city. Join me as we explore LA's neighborhoods and the local restaurants, cafes and bars that are an integral part of these vibrant and diverse communities.
Today we are going to cook a small steak for people who are really quite hungry.
Very, very simple. A couple squeezes of lemon in there.
Since you're adding the meat, and you can also do it with tofu options as well for the vegetarians.
Olive oil. So now we're gonna season it up. Fresh grind black pepper.
Really hot and busy in here.
I'm gonna go ahead and make some butter toast.
Olive oil.
Ah, smells good.
Grab our shiitake mushrooms.
Season them with salt a little bit.
Boy, it's getting hot in the kitchen. Need another drink of my beer. Ah, that's the best part of cooking.
And we are ready to put our plate together.
Add the mussels right around the rim.
See, we have really nice colors, nice piece of fish.
You just need to add a little bit of powdered sugar.
And I will just put a little bit of reduction glaze over the top.
When you add a pesto like this onto a braised meat, the smells that just come up are just wonderful. Take it from me, we've got a good thing going here.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
TNT Radio.
It's true, you are about to hear a voice of freedom. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's news talk, TNT. Now, I got a guest who, this is now his third appearance on the Johnny Vedmore Show, and I want to make sure that we have him back through all through 2024 for sure. David Summerall, you'll know, is a warrior for truth and justice. He is a Christian carpenter, small business owner, activist, citizen journalist, January 6th documentary filmmaker and founder of StopHate.com, which has some, I got to say, just as a quick note, you should definitely go there and watch a load of the documentaries that are in there. They're really well made and they're really well worth a watch. He's also the co-founder of American Celebration Tour, creator, host of Discussion Island. But this guy does everything. Board president of American Gulag Chronicles. I like that title. An American Patriot Relief Board member. He's a J6 attendee, the lead J6 investigator, licensed through the U.S. Department of Justice, Boo, Department of Justice. With access to all the government videos and court witnesses for defendants, you can follow him on X at Help Stop Hate, and his website is stophate.com. A brilliant website to get. David, my friend, I love having access to your wealth of knowledge. Thanks for being one of my go-to resources on such matters. How are you today?
I am beautiful, man. It's a pleasure to be here and to not only know you, but get to know you better and share the information that we're made to do. I mean, we're here to serve each other and minister to each other, and you can't do that without the truth. And we're just trying to bring truth to people in a digestible way and get over this hump that we're on right now. And man, I can't thank you enough for having me every time.
I love it. I love it. I love the way you are. I love the way you talk. I love what you've got to say. And I love how you say it. So we got a long relationship in front of us. We're going to discuss a completely mind-blowing legal overreach today as well. A federal judge, Reggie Walton, wants to monitor Daniel Goodwin's computer as part of his January 6th probation. He already served his prison time. Has this been the same with all of the people involved in January 6th?
Absolutely not. Very few have been monitored other than the probation restrictions that they all fall under, the travel and, you know, when you're home, when you're not, the regular halfway house to probation transition. But this seems to stand out as more of a monitoring for disinformation. In Daniel's trial, you know, before he went before the judge the last time or so, he was on Tucker Carlson. And of course, the interview, so he didn't say anything about outside. He was asking about the 37 seconds Daniel was actually in the building, and the judge was mad that Daniel didn't share all the information with the public. Of course, Daniel's not asking the questions. He tried to strike him for disinformation. And then also in Daniel's case, when he got to make his statement to the judge, he brought up all the murders from January 6th, and the judge challenged him to stop, and he was digging his hole deeper, and you know, he wanted to put those deaths in the record and make them the responsibility of the judge to make sure that they go for an investigation. And to my knowledge, the judge has not moved on that. So that brings up another position, 18 U.S. Code subsection 4, if you know about a felony, you have to report that, and if you don't, you can go to jail for 3 years. So maybe that's what Judge Walton has in mind, is a little prison vacation.
Yeah, maybe, I doubt it. So the man who's involved, though, Daniel Goodwin, has worked with you for 5 years previously, I believe.
Yes.
So will they be able to gain access to your site, your information, some of your details that he's got, if they get the legal rights to delve into Daniel's digital world?
Well, I believe so. And I think that's really the cause that they're doing this to Daniel out of 14 other J6 defendants. Why would they want access to his computer, you know, other than the fact that he's worked on all our documentaries and articles? I mean, he's my web guy for Stop Hate since, I believe, 2019. So, you know, he's been a part of the crew for a long time. I do believe it's to gain access to what we have. But, you know, it's kind of funny. I believe that they have the technology to already have access. I believe they can't say anything because they have no excuse to be in there. And I believe if they could get access, they can either, you know, craft a narrative or plant information even to, but the funny thing, Johnny, he's only got about 3 months left on probation. Why would they even care? It's such a short time. So there's really more at play than people understand.
Yeah, they love a bit of this, don't they? They love getting access. That's what they want, total information awareness. Now, there's a question for you in the chat. I'll get onto that in probably just after the break. So, mingling a ding dong, you can wait a second. So Daniel's been a big part of your team and was involved in the investigations, research, documentaries and articles. Why would this be allowed when he's already served all of his sentence? Like you say, he's got 3 months left of probation. Why would this be necessary for them to be able to have this sort of access to him?
Well, like I said, I think it gives them the excuse to talk about it. They probably already have access to everybody's information, everybody's computer and database. It's not a matter of that. They can't say anything because then they'd be caught for snooping around in everybody's computer without permission. But now this whole Patriot Act, and they can look at everyone under a microscope and, you know, tap people's phones and all the stuff. And, you know, is it paranoia? Is it not? I mean, you can't say cat diapers without Facebook or whatever picking up some word, keyword. So, you know, the feds are using the same technologies, and, you know, it's not a real surprise. But to monitor someone's computer like that, I think, is next level, because it's not just monitoring what he puts out, say, on social media. It's getting into his computer to see what's in there to monitor for disinformation. And then who becomes the judge on what disinformation is? Because actually what Daniel has access to is the truth. So, you know, the bad guys would just want to get in there and muck it up and try to screw that around to where it doesn't look or sound or feel like the truth, and discredit all the work that we've done, you know. And that's a lot on the J6 subject. So, you know, I see it all as a bigger strategy by the powers that be to, you know, gain access, to discredit, to try to trip people up, especially on the last film, the J6 True Timeline. It has been a phenomenal film, a real eye opener for people. And the last thing that the bad guys, as I call them, would want is for that to gain credibility or traction and not be able to refute it. So they have to set traps and they have to play games, and hopefully the traps they set for us, they will fall in, and it'll all be a biblical Red Sea moment. That's what we're waiting on.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I always like a biblical Red Sea moment. I think it is them attempting to normalize domestic surveillance as a thing that is a one of the tools in their toolkit. We're going to go to a quick news break. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
I have some exciting news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The White House has stated that the International Criminal Court does not have jurisdiction over the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Federal food safety inspectors are now testing ground beef in grocery stores for bird flu in states where dairy cows have tested positive for the virus, as reported by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Chinese authorities are expected to approve Tesla's full self-driving software, an event Tesla CEO Elon Musk views as crucial amid the company's recent struggles with declining sales and missed earnings.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah, 24/7, 365, we never stop sifting fact from fiction,
misinformation from the truth.
From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad, listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio, or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, this is TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show, and I'm here with David Summerall. I'm looking over at the chat, and there's a few questions for you. There's a statement as well. Johnny Dollar says he loves your T-shirt, your old school T-shirt. Mingling a ding dong has asked, how do you feel about legal immigration?
Oh, I love legal immigration. I think that variety is the spice of life in that respect, and I think if you cross the T's and dot the I's and do the paperwork and want to become an American, then yeah, we're 100% for legal immigration. But I think the difference falls into the terminology, the words. You start talking about aliens, you know, whether they're illegal or immigrants or whatever, you start diluting the truth. And, you know, it's very clear in our paperwork from the founding fathers that an alien does not have the same rights as a U.S. citizen. So the fact that the government is trying to make them equal, it should be a red flag for everyone, because they are not. They do not fall under the same guidelines, laws, rules, and of course, they don't act that way. So, hey, I'm all for people that want to come here the right way and do the right thing and become, you know, a part of this great experiment. But the ones that aren't on our team should never be allowed access in the first place.
Yeah, part of the process should be showing your true and honest intention to become a citizen, and that means you have to jump through a lot of hoops. The second question is Abe asking, broadly, what is Christianity to you?
Well, you know, that's a hot topic right now, I guess, Johnny. You know, a lot of people watch these.
Has been for 2,000 years, my friend.
I'm telling you, it's just that way. And, you know, these super pastors and these mega churches and all the cool garbage that people are tired of. And it's really hard to find what, you know, a true Christian is and who that looks like. And, you know, I have to go back kind of biblical on that, where Paul said, you know, if you can't be like Jesus, be like me, you know, and you have to start somewhere. Jesus is an amazing, perfect example that is hard to strive to. But if you can set your sights, you know, to somewhere along that path on your way to being more like him. And I think it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't think it's a church. I think church is important, but I think a lot of people get stuck on the religious aspects of church, and that's not the relationship part with Jesus. So, you know, in a speech last Saturday, I told that the public has such a hard time with J6ers because we won't bend the knee to the tyrannical government, because we've already bent our knee to Jesus Christ. He is our king. This is all kingdom business, kingdom work. And that's the way I feel about it. I'm flawed. I'm not perfect. I strive every day to be better and to do better and to serve people. And I think a lot of people want to serve themselves, and they lose sight of what we're here for and what our purpose is, to minister and serve each other. And I'm just trying to get back to the basics and back to God and, you know, basically just give him my life and say, here I am, use me. And the proof in that would be to the question, if you don't think he's real, even my editor, Tamara Lee, said, David, you're just a carpenter from East Texas. You're not supposed to be able to affect national politics or the media. And I said, but God. And she totally understands and gets it and knows that. But it's amazing to see how God can use the little team over at StopHate.com to really help, you know, change the narrative of what happened, for one, on January 6th, but also that back to the basics, that we don't have to hate each other as a first response. You know, and I think Jesus was all about loving your neighbor and your brother. And until we get back to that, you know, we're going to have these same recurring problems that we see in society all day. Because we've really, you know, gone to the self-serving microwave instead of the community. How can we participate amongst, you know, the group? And it's been a real hard thing to watch. But I think more and more people, especially since COVID, you know, are waking up to that they're dependent on a higher power, which is God, you know, and that they're getting back to that point of realization of priorities. What's important, you know, God first, then family. And it's beautiful to see, especially in our little J6 community, these people in prison are really left with nothing but God. And that's an amazing place to be. And the ministry that they do to us from inside that prison has been miraculous. So, you know, that's what Christianity is to me, is ministry to each other and trying to be more and more like Jesus as we can.
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes left. And now I was going to start talking about some of this. And there was another question that came up. Holly asked, does David think Trump will release the January 6th prisoners?
We're working on a pardon project right now. So the verbiage and the language will all be complete. He doesn't have to do any homework. Slide this across his desk. We're putting it in a small book. Suzanne Monk, myself, Tamara Lee, and several others are working on this to have the legwork done. And he can actually do a pardon of innocence or a pardon of mercy and set these people free from the bondage that they're in. And, you know, that's what we've needed for 3.5 years. We're just waiting for it.
So back in relation to Daniel Goodwin's case, do you think there's a wider federal involvement here aimed at or targeting the strongest of the pro-Trump supporters?
Absolutely. And you have to look at the big picture. It's domestic violent extremist. Anyone that they can deem as a domestic violent extremist. That's if you're a threat to persons or property. That means if you want to go to a protest at a building and they're scared that you're going to hurt the building, they can treat you like a J6er, put you in prison indefinitely with no due process, keep you there as long as they want under that pretense that you're, you know, a horrible person trying to take something over. But that goes for the little, you know, the little grandmas that want to go picket, or anyone. If you're seen as a threat to persons or property, and, you know, before, Johnny, it was hate crimes and it was different legislation. They couldn't nail enough people with, it's hard to prove a hate crime, but this domestic violent extremist, you're hearing that verbiage more and more. It comes out of places like George Washington University. These places work with Congress to make the laws. You know, you can look at the program on extremism at that university and see that this is all intentional. It's strategic to capture those words, make things like patriot a bad word. Why would you do something like that? What is this white Christian nationalist? I mean, when you break that down, you know, there's reasons for all of the things that they do. And people just need to be aware that, you know, everyone's a potential list occupant. If you don't believe the election, if you don't believe COVID, if you don't believe anything, you're being placed on the same list. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, that they'll come and do the same thing to you that they've done to J6ers if we don't.
Yeah, most definitely. Lost tiny word at the end there, but we got what you were saying. Thank you, David, again. Everybody should go to stophate.com. Like I say, go watch those documentaries. Thanks for joining me again. I hope you come back very soon.
Thanks, Johnny. It's great to see you, brother.
Always a pleasure, my friend. You're listening to today's News Talk, TNT.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying by the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands, heal our waters, and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. But every day we lose more of the places we love, and we urgently need to save endangered lands, waters, and wild species. The actions we take today will determine the tomorrow we leave to our children and grandchildren. The water they drink, the air they breathe, the beauty they experience. To learn more about how you can help protect and conserve our beautiful world, visit nature.org today.
We come from a long line of farmers, and there's a sense of pride, but there's also a significant amount of pressure.
Farmers have to take care of their physical and their mental health, because what's a farm without a farmer?
Watching the sun come up, that's my time. I can have a cup of coffee, and every day is a new opportunity.
That's cool.
Your hands got so
cool. Yay! Don't forget to check in on yourself. Love your mind.
Talk that matters. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. My fourth and final guest today, and it has been a bit of a lot of action today, is an extremely intelligent lady who I was lucky enough to have a long chat with off the record. That helped me prepare for her introduction to everyone watching and listening. But it will take a fair few sittings before we've even scraped the surface of her vast knowledge. So Nikki Florio is the founder of Be Heroic. That's B-E-E, Heroic. It's like buzzy, buzzy, buzzy bee. An adult-focused information-to-action climate and pollinator project. I like the sound of this. This unique project focuses on the issues, impacts, and solutions surrounding the current mass extinction events and its relationship to the Great Reset. The primary focus on the deadly technologies ranging from the geoengineering, 5G, IoT, Internet of Things, to agrochemical, pharmaceutical, chemical partnerships, and the corporations, people, and militaries running the show. Nikki is a lifelong environmental activist, researcher, and educator, and her team of partners from climate and earth and biological scientists to physicians, attorneys, and others have been working diligently to expose the lies that media institutions, profiteers, and politicians have heaved on the public for decades. You can visit her website at beheroic.com. Remember, two E's. She is all those things, but she's also totally charming too. So without further ado, Nikki Florio, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show. Can you tell us what started you off in this journey originally? Have you always been a troublemaker?
Thank you for having me, Johnny. I have almost always been a troublemaker. I don't have a very solid filter, so being PC went out the window years ago. I got into environmental studies when I was in my early 20s after I moved to Lake Tahoe. And I started an environmental education program and was told not to teach about organic foods and true sustainability, not greenwash sustainability like today, by different school districts. And that made me push even harder. And then eventually I learned about geoengineering and started researching it and the connections to 5G and the IoT and smart technologies. And I've been kind of pushing forward with other leaders in the area ever since.
Yeah, there's a already in the chat, there's Wee Fat Shug saying, I hear you, Nikki, I hear you. They're going to get people agreeing with you on this scene for sure. So we're going to focus on geoengineering today, something which is clearly happening, but you're not allowed to talk about it in full, of course. What forms of geoengineering are being used to manipulate our day-to-day lives?
Well, today, there's a range of technologies. The most visible one are the aerosol technologies. And in the aerosol technologies themselves are a variety of toxic elements. There's metals and biologic agents and plastics and graphene and mycotoxins and a bunch of other stuff. And these are expelled through commercial and military airplanes and weather balloons that are higher up for stratospheric aerosol injection, and then over our oceans with what's called ship tracks. And these ship tracks are covering the planet in a massive artificial cloud layer. And that creates problems because that cloud layer, they don't allow it to break up. So the heat is trapped in the ocean and it doesn't go back into space. So it exacerbates the warming of the planet and the warming of the oceans. And it also stops ozone from forming because those currents, the oxygen gets pushed up into the upper atmosphere and grabs onto that onto that third element and becomes ozone. So they're breaking down the ozone and warming the planet at the same time and blaming it on carbon dioxide. But the other technologies include different things like satellite technologies, ground-based ionizers. There's also basic water vapor pollution and ionospheric heaters and several other technologies, including plasma technologies that are used all in conjunction to control the weather, to control communications, and eventually to be controlling us.
Yeah. Why do you think it is so important for those who are in power to utilize these tools of change to benefit their agenda? Why do you think they feel they have to do this?
I don't know if they feel they have to do it. When you're a sociopathic criminal narcissist, you know, it's all about you. So all of the useless people get the heave-ho off the planet, or they're enslaved, and that's kind of the ultimate goal, is the physical and energetic enslavement of humanity.
Yeah.
Humans.
Okay. Well, yeah. That makes a lot of sense, because that's why we all come to that conclusion, don't we? Really, they must be doing it for something. What are they doing it? Oh, to enslave us all, of course, because that's really what their goal is, if they keep us under control. And of course, weather is something that we don't see the creation of it in what they're doing, so it's hard for us to touch on that. How widespread, because you've said, I mean, it's what you listed is pretty extreme. So how widespread do you think geoengineering has become? And is the world being manipulated on a day-to-day basis then?
Yes, there's no area on Earth that doesn't show geoengineering footprints every day. So after 9/11, when all the planes were grounded, that's probably when they did most of the modification to the planes. So when you look at planes today, a lot of them still have those retrofit nozzles. And these are placed sometimes above the engine, so it looks like it's a contrail, condensation coming out, but it's actually above. But there's also videos and images and kind of direct air capture from emissions in planes that go across the wingspan. Sometimes they're on the tail. Sometimes they're on the fuselage. Sometimes it's just a wingtip sprayer. And So with all of those things, we know that they are spraying. There's patents that match it. There's also the fact that geoengineering doesn't occur in certain humidity and temperate regions. You have to have a very freezing cold atmosphere, and you have to have at least 70% humidity. So this shouldn't really happen in the mid-latitudes at all, because we don't have those freezing cold temperatures. Now, geoengineering has been ramped up since the late 90s. And because of that, by 2017, there were around 30 new cloud types listed, but several primary cloud types. And the very first one listed is homogenitus, and that means man-made. And then they also call it contrail to cirrus, persistent contrail, persistent spreading contrail, et cetera. And those become another new cloud type called homo mutatus, which means modified man-made. And we'll see the new alto cirrus in that, and scalar clouds, these clouds that look like they're a bunch of lines in the sky. And then there's undulatus aspiratus that look like you're underwater. They're very sloping types of waves. There's mammatus. There's roll clouds and shelf clouds and all of these new clouds. And those are the clouds that we see the most today. When we do see natural, beautiful, billowing cumulus clouds, you'll almost always see some projects going on over it, some aerosol projects, because that nanomaterial will then come down and break up the existing cloud layer. Or if you have a cumulonimbus, like a thunderhead, they'll spray over the top and they'll cap that convective system so it doesn't rain out. And they've been doing this over both cumulonimbus and in the summertime in both the northern and southern hemisphere. They're doing this over wildfires, where massive wildfires create what's called a pyrocumulus cloud and then a pyrocumulonimbus cloud, which rains itself out. All that ash and heat gets into the upper atmosphere, binds to the moisture, and then the fire with the wind, it rains out ahead of the fire, and fires put themselves out. That's how major catastrophic fires throughout history have put themselves out. But you'll see North and South American fires and fires in Europe and Australia, and they're doing the same thing everywhere. They're capping the system so that those fires burn as long as they can. That's part of weather warfare, is fire warfare as well.
Okay, well, that leads me perfectly on to the next question. Now, just in between asking that question about it being warfare, I just want to mention that little Carol in the chat says there were only four types of clouds when I was at school. So, I mean, obviously something suspicious is going on. Is this warfare then? And what do those utilizing these weapons intend to do to our world?
Well, within the factors of warfare, in 1996, there was a document written by the U.S. Air Force, by different lieutenants and majors and colonels, called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. And they outlined specific technologies and how to degrade enemy forces and how to enhance our own forces. Now, back then, they covered everything from ionospheric heaters to different types of aerosol, geoengineering, and different communications that could be used. And then that was in 1996. And then by 1998, there was a meeting called Foundations 2025, a value model for evaluating future air and space forces. And that is the one that provides the overview of why they need to control the weather in warfare, and providing that platform for the current Great Reset, or the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So in Foundations 2025, they outlined over 40 different types of futuristic concepts. And they wanted to have ground to space surveillance so that they could, for any enemy, foreign or domestic, they could observe populations, collect information, and perpetually surveil them, and simultaneously be able to informationally, physically, psychologically, and biomedically manipulate them. And wow. And so they have all of this planned out. And then by 2001, right before 9/11, Dennis Bushnell, who is one of the chief scientists at NASA, he had a PowerPoint for the military called Future Strategic Issues and Future Warfare circa 2025. So 2025, next year, is a huge year. It's a year where they have biomedical control over the population, how they can perpetually surveil the population and use both covert and very direct warfare, and getting rid of humans and starting with the introduction of machines, also using bioweapons, using microwave weapons, and so forth.
So are they able to collapse our ecosystem using their geoengineering tools, or is this hubris on our part? What you know, is this possible?
They are and have been systematically taking down both food and ecosystems. So weather plays a massive part. I mean, weather is, we're not here without weather. And the sun itself, in blocking sunlight, you cause huge impacts. If you block sunlight with chemicals, it creates a host of problems. If you block the sun with a sun shield or a solar shield, that causes problems as well. Because in the atmosphere itself, you're blocking the sunlight, so you're blocking everything that gives life to terrestrial animals and a lot of the oceanic animals, unless they're way down deep in the ocean or a cave dwelling animal or plant. So you're affecting our bodies. And already scientists have discovered almost 20 to 30% of historic sunlight is not hitting the earth. We have 20 to 30% less sunlight. Now for older people my age, we remember the bright, beautiful, crisp, clear skies. And even at night, when the moon was out, you would have very solid moon shadows and you could see really far on a clear day. And you'd have bright stars in the sky and you could see, I mean, I live in the mountains. For the first 25 years I was here, you could see the Milky Way hundreds of nights a year. And I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the Milky Way in probably 5 or 6 years here. Occasionally you'll see the sky, but mostly we see this reddish, brownish blue in the sky instead of the deep blue black skies we used to see. So even at night, they're constantly keeping that aerosol layer there. I apologize, I got off track of your question. I'm so sorry.
You don't need to worry about going off track on the question. Like I say, this is such a big sort of thing to talk about that it's going to take more than one sitting. And we've only got the last minute left. So in a minute, can you tell us how we reverse all of this?
So one of the big things we can do is, first of all, learn about the scope of geoengineering. And you can take action at the state or national or international level. We have information on our websites. We could maybe even do a show on that. But reducing your flying, your air travel, if you can, even though that's one of the most visible, the ionospheric heaters right now that are used in conjunction with this are causing earthquakes. There's lots of a lot more engineered earthquakes. There are a lot more. From what I've seen, at least two this year, engineered volcanic events. But they use geoengineering for everything from moving hurricanes, intensifying wildfires, et cetera. So,
yeah, that's I mean, we are going to have to cover this again, but
intensifying wildfires, et cetera. So,
yeah, that's I mean, we are going to have to cover this again, but I tell you what, that's important to start covering it. So, Nikki Florio, thanks for coming on and talking about this. Really important stuff.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
Really appreciate it. Now, that was officially another day on the Johnny Vedmore Show. So thank you for Nikki Florio, David Summerall. Thank you to Gamma Race and JJ Corral, of course. Thank you as well for being with me and for getting involved in the chat. You've all been great support in many ways through this past month and a bit that I've been on TNT. And I really do appreciate you all for tuning in and for being so interactive. That's a massively important. Everybody in the chat, I salute thee. Stay tuned for the Mark Marano Show up next, of course. But until tomorrow, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, don't go changing, and thanks for sticking with us. See you tomorrow on today's News Talk TNT.